You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Coming up on this week's RedCafe.net podcast, we look at the victories over Tottenham Hotspur and Bursaspor, decide whether Dimitar Berbatov did or did not have a good game in the Champions League. We also look ahead to the weekend's match against Wolves, and we have Thomas Boff of rulesblog.com to help us do that. We also preview next week's fixture against Manchester City at Eastlands.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Hello and welcome to episode 54 of the RedCafe.net podcast. As usual, it's me, Stephen Darwin, and yes, I'm joined by Dan and Dov. How are you this week then, guys?
I'm good, thanks, Steve. Yeah, had an enjoyable week. Yeah, it's been okay. Nothing exciting, unfortunately, but yeah, it's been just a general week in the life of Danny Lomax.
Great stuff. Glad to hear it, Dan. Glad to hear it. Dov, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm just waiting for Dan to say something funny. But yeah, other than that, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm very busy. Watching lots of too much football. Watching Pipo Inzaghi score loads of goals. Did you see that last night, boys? Amazing. We need that. That's what we need. We need some of that.
What, a 37-year-old Pipo Inzaghi? To be fair, he keeps scoring goals. He's an unbelievable player. He was offside, though, Miles, for that second one.
Well, he's always offside, but it doesn't matter. If he doesn't get caught, it doesn't count.
Don't put that in the intro, Dov. This week on the podcast, Steve, Dan and Dov discuss the merits of Manchester United signing Filippo in the...
Why not? It could be an option.
No, Dan, no.
Makeda or Inzaghi. I think I'd take Inzaghi, yeah.
Old enough to be his dad, isn't he?
I would agree. I would take Inzaghi over Makeda. Inzaghi's brilliant.
Poacher.
Jesus Christ. Right, well, we'll move it swiftly on there, and we'll kick off by looking back at the most recent game, guys. The 3-0 win over Bursaspor, of course, on Tuesday in the Champions League. Dov, yeah, obviously a very, very good result, and of course that puts us pretty much into the next round, doesn't it? On the brink of qualification, anyway. And not just that, there was some really encouraging performances too.
Sir Alex Ferguson always targets 10 points, and he's got his 10 points, so. But more or less through, not mathematically qualified, but pretty much there. But I was quite encouraged by Obertan. I thought Obertan was really, really good. Sort of ran at the defence, got a very, very good goal as well. Can't discount that. And he really came on in the last sort of couple of weeks as well. A £3 million signing, and somebody who a lot of people were unsure about whether he would sort of fulfil his potential, but it looks like he's bulked up a little bit. And he's started to put in some performances together, which is good to see. And especially when you've got Valencia out, you need some of these guys to step up. And he's certainly one that's been doing it. So I was encouraged by him in particular.
Did you watch the first half, though, Dov? He was pretty awful in the first half. His touch and every sort of pass he seemed to make was going astray. Granted, his goal took it absolutely superbly well. And hopefully that will help his sort of confidence. But he still looked very sort of raw and didn't really... just seemed to be running down blind alleys, really, just sort of not really knowing what to do with the ball. His touch was loose, and I'll take what you're saying, though. Obviously,
you'd be a bit harsh. A few loose passes, but I mean, I thought he was one of the brighter players, let's be honest. I mean, he didn't have a magnificent, amazing performance, but it was a good performance, and he's come on, I thought. Like, if you imagine him maybe a year or so ago where it was terrible, it was... just like you say, running down blind alleys, but maybe a bit more so, and didn't really know what to do, and just his positioning, I don't think wasn't very good. But I think he's improved a lot.
Judging by what you've said there, how close would you say he is then to starting against a Chelsea or an Arsenal? Do you think he's really got to that level yet, or he's not quite ready for that sort of game?
Yeah, I don't think he's quite there. Not there yet, but I think he's close. I think he's close to getting into the first team on more occasions. I think he's sort of moved himself ahead of the likes of Jason Park in the pecking order, And obviously with Nani's injury and Valencia obviously being out as well, is like you can't really think of any other wingers you'd have on your team. So at the moment, it'd probably be one of the first names on the team sheet, as controversial as that may be to say.
Okay, and Dan, we'll bring you in now. Paul Scholes, I thought he was absolutely terrific on Tuesday, and he still shows. I mean, even at, what is he, coming up to 36 now? I think he's 36 this month, and yeah, he still proves that you give him any sort of time and space and he can just rip you apart, can't he?
Yeah, I thought Scholes was very good. A few loose passes, but I think that overall, a very good player, dominated midfield. I thought he combined well with Fletcher. I thought Carrick played well as well. But most impressive for me, again, was Smalling. I think that I was questioning him when he got brought in early in the season, and I don't think he'd be much good, but he's proved me wrong. He seems very... he just looks like he's just in command all the time. And I really do like him. I think he'd be a good player.
And at the moment, I mean, judging by the relatively poor start to the season Evans has had, I mean, would that mean you'd pick him ahead of him, or...?
No, not yet. I think that Evans deserves his chance to come again. I mean, you know, Evans is only a young player as well, and he played fantastically well last season, I thought, when he came in for Rio off of Vidic at the time, you know. And I think that he's going to make mistakes, and it, you know, it's how you recover from that. But Smalling's taken his chance when he's been given it, so there's no reason why Ferguson wouldn't pick Smalling, but I think that he'll go back with Evans just to show that confidence in him.
Dov, what do you, again, Bebe coming off the bench, and well, he scored a goal, and UEFA took it off him and put it down as an own goal, and then they changed their mind again, and I think they've since given it back to Bebe, so it does look like he has got off the mark in the Champions League, and he looked bright, didn't he, when he came on, and at the end as well, he put a chance on a plate for Berbatov, and we'll get on to him in a minute, because I want to get Dan's thoughts on his game, but no, Bebe, it was a pleasing little performance, albeit not so long on the pitch, but he did okay, didn't he?
No, definitely summed up very nicely. I mean, great like pass for Berbatov at the end, which was fantastic. And one thing that's really nice about him is very direct, I quite like, and it doesn't seem like he's scared. And remember, this is a guy who was playing third division football last season in Portugal, and he doesn't seem like he's scared just to get the ball, take it, and just run at these players. Granted, he runs with his head down, and I don't think he's aware too much of what's going on around him, but he's superbly fast. He really looks like he's got a lot of pace about him as well. And obviously the goal, which has definitely been given to him, UEFA have confirmed it, he's definitely got the goal. So he's had an encouraging week. And remember as well, like he's came to United and he seems like he's enjoying himself. And he didn't have a pre-season with the club, whereas somebody like Hernandez did. So Hernandez has came in, he's seen what the club's all about, been on the pre-season tour, done all the pre-season training. Bebe's not had that. And I think for the way he's performed already, I think he needs to be like given a lot of credit, especially the criticism he was getting before he'd even kicked the ball for the club. So I think he's another one that deserves a lot of praise after the game during the week.
Good stuff. Well, come on then, Dan. Dimitar Berbatov, I think you'll agree it wasn't one of his best nights. And also in the Tottenham game, he didn't really stand out as much as he has so far this season. So I think against Bursaspor, though, it certainly proved that on his own up front, it just doesn't really seem to work, does it?
It wasn't his best game. I'll admit that. That's obvious. But at the same time, you know, I like to watch Berbatov closely. I think he's a fantastic player, as you know. But, you know, he was making runs and no one was giving him the ball and he was just getting really frustrated with himself.
But that's one thing.
I saw on the camera, he was just throwing his arms in the air and kicking the turf. It's like, it reminds me of me when I'm playing football. I'm very technical. But he's just... And him and Scholes having a bit of a bickering match as well. But
that's one thing that really winds me up, the fact that he's always sort of complaining. One pass doesn't go his way or... something doesn't quite go right for him and it's like arms are in the air and it must not do the confidence of the players around him any good. Someone like Obertan, who's just desperate to impress, and they give him one short pass and he just gives them absolute rocks for it. Just doesn't seem like that's good.
Don't be daft. They all know what he's like. They must all train with him every day and in and around him every day. I wouldn't worry about that. You get players like that, don't you, sometimes, who strive for the best, Steve. He's professional. He wants to do the best he can. He wants people to pass in the bloody ball. That's what he wants. He needs the ball. You know, he didn't lose the ball that much last night. You rarely see him lose the ball. And there was a bit in the I think it might have been in the first half where he took on someone, came inside, wanted a little 1-2, and the return pass was just absolutely shocking. It's berating Obertan, which is fine though. It was a simple 2-yard pass that Obertan couldn't execute, so he's gonna get rocks, like you say. I don't mind. It's fine.
Dan,
if he'd scored that goal at the end, you know, if he'd have bent inside the post, you know, we'd have all been saying, "Oh, Berbatov's back on form, he's got another goal."
Yes,
you would.
Just because he scored a goal at the end doesn't mean he's had a good game.
Well, you just said Obertan had a good game when he scored a goal. You know, it's I thought Obertan was okay. He was average. He wasn't outstanding. He wasn't anything, you know, brilliant. And took his goal very well, as you say.
Said he had a good game. I thought he had a good game.
Berbatov had a good game. He wasn't outstanding, but he wasn't.
He did not have a good game. It was rubbish.
On what basis? Why was he rubbish? He didn't. Did you see him lose the ball a lot?
You just explained why he was rubbish 5 minutes ago, or even two seconds ago. He was making runs that he didn't. That he wasn't getting the ball for. So he's not. He's obviously not on the same wavelength as his teammates. You know,
if he's making a run, he's got to expect someone to pass in the ball.
But if you just run into a blind alley, who's saying you to get the ball? You've got to make good runs.
Dov, was he not the central striker, right? His main role was to hold the ball up and bring people into play. I thought he did that well.
Fair enough.
Oh, right, okay, right. So you've backed down now then. Right, okay. 1-0.
Oh, dear. Well, we'll move on to look at Saturday's game then, guys. The 2-0 win over Tottenham in the Premier League. Dan, obviously, all the talk since then has been about somewhat controversial Nani goal. I mean, what's been your sort of opinion on all of that?
It was a bit of an odd one, really, because when I was in the ground, like, you didn't really know what happened at first, and everyone was really confused. But, you know, from my experience, you know, the referee didn't blow his whistle, therefore it wasn't a free kick. So I think Nani's more than his rights to put the ball in the net. And Gomez, I think he's been a bit of a daft, really. You know, even if Nani has handballed it, which obviously it proved he had, why did he throw the ball like 12 yards forward to take a free kick, which was, if he thought it was given, I think that was sort of his backup excuse. Gomez was looking at the ref as well, and the ref was stood there saying, "Go on, kick the ball." And Nani was looking at him, and Nani kicked it first. I don't see the issue. It's not Clattenburg's fault in the slightest.
You could see Gomez sort of started to panic as well as soon as his centre-backs weren't sort of responding to him.
Yeah,
I think
he just
wanted one of them to take it off him and play, and they weren't. And he sort of thought, oh, God, Nani's going to stick this in the back of the net. I'm in trouble here. So,
yeah, but the Gomez, still after he looked at Kabul, he took a few steps backwards away from the ball when he could have probably just kicked it away just to get anything out of the, you know, the equation. Fair play to Nani. I mean, you know, he could have well got a penalty in the first place. He shouldn't have unballed it, but, you know, if no one gives a free kick, then you got to play to the whistle. And I think the linesman's obviously seen the handball, so he wouldn't have put his flag up 10 seconds later after the goal's gone in the net. So,
Dov, bring you in there. Sorry, Dan. Obviously, the argument Spurs fans will have is the fact that they don't really see how there's a clear advantage if obviously they've gone a goal down, well, 2-0 down at the time. So I guess you can sympathise with them, because if the shoe had been on the other foot, I'm sure we'd be pretty furious. But not just that. I mean, if it had been at the other end and, say, it had been Tottenham at Old Trafford and that sort of goal happened for them, I mean, can't really see it given, can you?
I don't see what was wrong. The referee played advantage. The reason for me they played advantage was Gomez had the ball in his hands, so he could have set up a counter-attack or set up an attack for Spurs, hence the advantage. If he puts the ball down, he's still got the advantage, but if he puts the ball down too far ahead of him, then if a United player comes and nicks the ball out, it's a different phase of play. So the advantage has therefore been given, and they've not done anything with it. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm agreeing with Dan. It's a goal, end of, and it should have. And if the same thing happened at United, it should be a goal in exactly the same way. The only thing I would say criticise the referee for was going over and how do we chat to these linesmen and sort of having Rio Ferdinand there and like creating a little bit of a furore, if you want to say. But I think it's something that should and hopefully would be given at any ground against any team, regardless if they were the home team or the away team.
I'm not sure if the referee even gave advantage, though, because he didn't indicate advantage. You know, when referees indicate advantage, they put their arms out in front of them, don't they? He didn't do that at any point. I don't think he saw the handball, which is why he's got to look at his linesman. You know, the linesman's seeing it. Because if you look at it, I didn't see the handball when I was at the ground, because Nani's body was in front of it, so you couldn't see him put his hand on the ball. And obviously Gomez picked the ball up and then put it down. So I don't think the referee saw it at all.
Yeah, well, if he's even then.
Which is why when Nani was looking at the ref, he was going, well, go on then, kick it. I've not given anything. You know, you look confused as anybody else. Mm.
Yeah, so if he's not seen it, he can't give it either. So again, Gomez that's in the wrong. And it's him that should be taking most of the blame or all of the blame for it. And that's who Spurs fans should be directing their anger at, not Mark Clattenburg or his assistant or Nani.
Fair points. Dan, just want to have a little chat about young Raphael at right back. I think he started something like the last seven or something like that. I mean, does that sort of show now that Ferguson really does consider him to be the regular now at right back? I mean, is he sort of making that slot his own?
I think so. I think he's a fantastic potential on the lad. I mean, everyone's banging on about Gareth Bale. You know, I've read some papers today saying he's, you know, one of the best in the world. Come, give me a break. He's played well for sort of like, I don't know, 8 months. Fantastic hat-trick against Inter Milan, but to say he's one of the best in the world is a bit steep. But he didn't do anything against United when Raphael was there. The best chance that Bale had was when he drifted off, you know, off Raphael's side and went down the other wing, didn't he, and had that shot with his right foot. But no, I thought that Raphael was fantastic. He attacked well, he defended well. I think he's become a little bit more intelligent, and he's possibly learnt, you know, from the Champions League game last season against Munich when obviously he was daft and got himself sent off. But I mean, I think he's our best right back at the moment, without a doubt.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Well, you mentioned Bale there, Dan. I mean, you can't not discuss him after obviously a couple of fantastic performances against Inter. I guess you'd take him. I guess you'd have him. But I mean, how much would you pay for him at the moment?
I don't know. He's a good player. And he seems level-headed as well. He seems like he's got his head screwed on and stuff, and he just wants to play football. Maybe Giggs can have a word. Well, come to Old Trafford, replace me. I'll give you my number 11 shirt. You'd love that. Get it, United. I think, you know, I heard a debate on the radio today saying, would you have Bale or Walcott? And it's one of them questions where...
Really? You heard that on an actual radio programme? They were debating that?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I don't really rate Theo Walcott. I think he's terrible. That's what I think
he's terrible. Did you see his goal last night?
Absolutely terrible. I didn't see his goal last night, but I still think he's terrible. And just because he scored a goal, Dan, doesn't it make him amazing?
He scored more goals than Bale has this season.
Yeah, but it doesn't make him a good football player.
Bale scored one in the Premier League. You know, Bale had one lucky game against Inter Milan where they didn't know how to handle him. Phil Neville had Gareth Bale in his back pocket, if I remember rightly, a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I agree, but I think Theo Walcott is a terrible football player.
But why do you suggest that?
He doesn't look like he knows what he's doing on a football pitch. He just doesn't look like he has any clue what he's to do.
Are you best mates with Alan Hansen? Is that what it is?
yeah, we're good. Right, he doesn't know what he's doing.
Right, I hope that when we play Arsenal, that Walcott rips us apart. I hope that, right? I hope we win 3-2, right? Walcott gets two of their goals. That's fine, you know. And just shove that down your throat. He's a good player, Walcott.
How much for Gareth Bale, then, Dan?
How much for Gareth Bale? 10 to 15.
10 to 15? Really?
Yeah.
Steve, right? Getting him for
right this time last season, Steve, hear me out. This time last season, he couldn't get in the Spurs team. He was going to be going out on loan. And because one of their players got injured, he gets put in, and to be fair, he's not looked back since. He's played very well. But, you know, he's not a
right back in the world look completely average. Worse than average.
Yeah, but I'm not debating that. I'm saying in the Premier League, he's not really done fantastically well, has he?
One of the goals of the season, didn't he, at the start of the season?
Is that the only goal he scored?
Anyway, I don't want to debate about Gareth.
I'll have a debate with you, Steve. Doesn't matter. I think about, you know, 10 to 15 million at this rate. He's not had one full season yet where he's played well consistently. Not yet.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't think Spurs would sell him for 10 to 15 million. I think they're holding out for a much, much larger transfer fee, whether you think it's justified or not.
I agree, Dov. I agree. Anyway, Raphael van der Vaart, I don't want to talk too much about Tottenham players, but he seems to have had a decent start to his Tottenham career. And Dov, does it sort of beg the question, I mean, why weren't Manchester United in for a player like that when he became available?
Yeah, you could say. I think he's one that would, again, sort of a player that we really, really need, and it would fit in well at Old Trafford. So you've got to ask, is it something to do with the finances? Because I don't know his exact wage at Spurs, but I think it's in the region of 60 to 80,000 £8 a week, and then the £8 million transfer fee, and obviously signing on fees and things like that. So you would be breaking the bank to bring him in, especially when you spent money on Hernandez, Bebe, Smalling, etc. It does beg a question. Maybe Sir Alex doesn't really rate him. Maybe he doesn't really think he's up to it in the Premier League. Although I have heard rumours that Spurs are only really a stepping stone. A few teams, or unnamed teams, sort of say, right, okay, go to Spurs, see how you do in the Premier League, if you can cope with the physicality of it, and then we'll put in a bid the next summer. So
that's a ridiculous idea.
It's been not happened, Dan. But
maybe. You're saying Fergie's got Van der Vaart's agent and said, go on, my mate Harry, he's got a few million. Go down to White Hart Lane, just prove yourself for a season, and we'll take you.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. Maybe it'll happen exactly like that, but I mean, there's been a few players who, like Sir Alex, wants to see how they do.
I can see what you're saying.
That's probably what has happened. Although I've heard rumours that that's what's happened.
Just another Spurs player. What about Modric? I quite like him. Would you take him?
Yeah, I like Modric as well. I think he's really good.
I thought he was good on Saturday.
He was good against Inter as well. It was one of Tottenham's better players in that game.
Stuff's turned into a bit of a Tottenham podcast, isn't it? We'll get back onto Man United matters now, shall we? And we'll discuss our cabbage and player of the week for the past week. Dov, start with you then. Who would be your player for this week?
Aubameyang.
Aubameyang.
I'm joking. Bebe. I think Bebe's had a good week. I'm going to give it to him, getting his debut Champions League goal as well, so he can get my player of the week. Somebody who's coming for a lot of criticism and sort of rose above it and put in some good performances, so he's getting it for me.
Like it. Dan?
Jason Park, I think. I think he had a good game against Spurs, and I think that he did well when he came on last night.
It's between Scholes and Nani for me. I think I'm going to give it to Nani, even though it was a controversial goal. Obviously set up the first, didn't he, with the free kick, and of course, well, showed a bit of a nous, really, to be switched on to put the ball in the back of the net for the second, and he also hit the bar after that as well. And obviously unfortunate to have to go off in the Bursaspor game, so yeah, Nani for me. What about Cabbage then? Dan, start with you this time.
Cabbage is a hard one. I thought everyone's played well. Evra. Okay. I still think he's not reaching the type of form that he's been in the past few seasons, and I think that he needs to step it up a little bit.
Yeah, he gave the ball away yesterday when they, well, probably for their chance of the match.
That's right, yeah.
Fair enough. Dov, then, who would be your club cabbage this week?
Dimitar Berbatov. It's been a wee while since he's had a cabbage, I'm going to give it to him for his... it was a quiet display against Spurs, especially being his old club. One of the teams you expect him to sort of raise his game for. Didn't really do too much, and then the display against Bursaspor as well, again, didn't really think he'd done too much, so he's cabbage for me. What about you, Steve?
I can just imagine Dan sat there shaking his head now.
I'm literally shaking my head.
Well, you're going to be doubly shaking it now, Dan, because I'm going to give it to Berbatov as well. Obviously hoping for better after such a great start to the season, so yeah, Berbatov for me.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Well, we'll move on to look at reserves review now. Promising result for the reserves, Dov. 3-1 win and a certain Will Keane on the score sheet once again.
That's right. You see, everything we do, a reserves review or an academy review, it seems to get on the score sheet. So he's definitely one that a lot of the fans at Old Trafford will be looking out for, and hopefully he can make a breakthrough in the first team in a few years as well. But it's the first game for 5 weeks for the reserves, so it was good to get the victory. Though they didn't start particularly well. Conor Devlin in the United goal had a number of saves to make, and Mark Davies all bought, and he was the main threat, I would say. And he made a couple of other saves, one from Rodrigo and one from Robbie Blake as well. The keeper, Conor Devlin, did get beaten after 13 minutes, and Aaron Blakeman. So he beat him with a low shot after a lovely passing move from Bolton. And really, United, they were on the back foot for most of the first half, but then they managed to get level in 37 minutes when Rhys Brown, he crossed into the area, and Will Keane sort of powered home a close-range header, so it stooped quite low for him as well. So a bit brave doing that. So that sort of drew us level. In the second half, we sort of powered on a little bit. Paul Pogba, he passed to Cameron Stewart, who put United in the lead on 69 minutes. And this was basically a little bit of a cross slash shot, which had just went in inside of the post from Cameron Stewart there to put United ahead. And 7 minutes later, the game was dead and buried. And Thorpe, he came up, joined the attack, and latched onto a Wilkie pass, and then placed a shot into the back of the net, which was which capped a much better second half performance, and a quite impressive second half performance as well from Ole Solskjaer's team. So a bit of both in this game. So decent goalkeeping, but then some excellent football in the second half to get the victory for the reserves. So good stuff, and it's good to have reserves with you properly back as well.
Yeah, just on Will Keane, Dov, how far do you think he is away from any sort of first team start, be it a League Cup start or even possibly early rounds of the FA Cup? I mean, do you think he really is knocking on the door now?
I think if he keeps going the way he's going, it's going to be tough to hold him back, I would say. But and given the number of strikers that we have on the books as well, I mean, you've got players like sort of Michael Owen and Bebe and Makeda who they're there or thereabouts with regard to first team, and they're not quite broken through to become regulars. And then how are you going to fit them into games without giving them League Cup games and early rounds of the Premier League? So I think he's got a bit far to go yet, but if he keeps banging them in the reserves, then he's going to be asking questions of the other guys. You have to get his chance, and if he keeps going the way he's going, I would expect him to get his chance eventually as well.
And do you think some of it as well is to do with maybe his stature? I mean, he doesn't look like he's the sort of biggest lad that there is at the moment. Obviously, someone like Makeda's big and strong, isn't he? Even such a young player. But Will Keane does look like he needs to get a bit stronger. Maybe that's part of it. Because obviously the step up from reserve team football to sort of first team football, you need that bit of extra strength, that bit of extra pace as well. And possibly that's why Sir Alex is sort of... maybe trying to bulk him up a bit before he gives him his chance. But hopefully he does get some sort of outing in the first team this season. It'd be good to see him.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
So everybody, it's that time on the RedCafe.net podcast where we interview an opposition fan. And we have Thomas Boff of the WolvesBlog.com on the show. We had Thomas's colleague on last year, but Thomas has decided to come on and talk Wolves with us. Welcome to the show, Thomas.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. So we'll get right into things because we've played you recently, okay? And well, we managed to scrape a 3-2 victory thanks to Chicharito at the end of the game in the Carling Cup, 3-2 win there. And you're on some good form as well. So I mean, how do you think your form will lead you into the game against United, especially since we've played you so recently as well?
Yeah, well, I mean, Wolves have picked up over the past, in terms of results, have picked up over the last three games. I mean, obviously, 2 weeks ago we went to Chelsea and we weren't very fancied there and we put on a good performance and we were unlucky to come out with defeat, really. I think the statistics say that, it was the most saves Pedicek ever had to make in a game since he's been at Chelsea, which shows you we made a decent fist of it up there, and then we obviously travelled to, to yourselves, Old Trafford in the League Cup, and, we gave you a game. Okay, it was your reserve side essentially, but it was essentially our reserves too, by, three or four first-teamers, and, we gave you a good game. And again, we were on the wrong end of the result, a bit of quality from Hernandez at the end, and, it just turned the game in your favour. It could have, gone either way at the end, and fortunately, we were able to carry on the good form against Man City, and... put it together and actually get a result. So, I think we're coming into this game probably the best we've been playing all season, really. So, with the players you've got out, we're hoping potentially we could get, another upset on the cards.
Looking at your league position as well, you're second from bottom, although everything is quite tight. I mean, do you think is that maybe a false position, considering the way that your team are playing? Because you're actually playing some quite nice attacking football as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't like to be one of these fans who say, oh, yeah, we're in a fourth position because of this, we've played these teams, because, I've noticed a lot of West Ham fans are saying that, saying, oh, we're bottom, but we've played Man United and Chelsea and Arsenal, and, you can't just you know, write those games off just because they're against the top teams. You know, you've got to play every game. So I wouldn't necessarily say Wolves are in a false position because, yeah, we've played some good football, but we've made silly mistakes at the back in a lot of games. And we're carving out chances, but we're not always taking them. And, I'm a big believer that the top teams in the Premiership are the top because they take their chances and they don't give away silly goals. So, you know, Wolves need to address that, tighten up at the back, and I think, you know, we've certainly got good enough players to be in a higher position in the league, but it's about putting it all together. And, you know, we have had a tricky, you know, I've just said I don't like complaining about fixtures, we are in the middle of a tricky run, but through November and December we've got a run of games where we can realistically look to pick up quite a few points. I'm hoping by Christmas time we'll be, you know, definitely, hopefully anyway, outside of the relegation zone and maybe looking up towards mid-table.
You mentioned there that you've been giving away some silly mistakes at the back. I mean, is there any sort of areas where maybe United should look to exploit? Should it be sort of your central defence, or would you say that attacking the fullbacks is probably your weakest area?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think if you ask most Wolves fans, they'd acknowledge the fact that we're weak, you know, in left-back position, or, you know, your right side, our left side, because today you've got Matt Jarvis playing for us, who's, you know, very lively winger. Of course, you a lot of problems, I believe, in the League Cup. And he likes to bomb on and get forward. And we haven't really got a left-back of brilliant stature. We've got Stephen Ward, who plays there, who's a forward we bought from Ireland 3 or 4 years ago as a striker, you know, like I say. And, you know, he's been playing left-back. And he's quite good on the ball, and he gets forward and he supports Jarvis. But, you know, defensively, you know, he's very suspect, and that's a definite weak link. Over the summer, we were all hoping Mick was going to go out and buy a left back, and he bought a guy in from Belgium, Van Damme, and it hasn't really worked out. He's been playing in left midfield, so we're certainly vulnerable down the left, I'd say, and, you know, it's an area of the pitch that a lot of teams, you know, evidently know about when they come down and they attack down that side. So, you know, it's, I think United should be looking to get in down there on Saturday.
From a more positive point of view from yourselves, I mean, where do you think you can hurt ourselves? I mean, you mentioned Matt Jarvis there, and he did have a fantastic game in the Carling Cup between the two sides, and Sylvain Ebakes Blake as well. It looked quite decent. I mean, who do you think that could cause United a lot of problems at the weekend?
Well, like you say, you touched on it there. I mean, Matt Jarvis, we can get the ball to him, you know, in and around your box. You know, he's got an absolute lightning turn of pace, and, you know, he'll get balls into the box, he'll beat his man, he'll cause you problems all day long, but it's about getting him into those positions. And, I mean, you know, Sir Alex is going to have seen how Jarvis played in that League Cup game, and I'm sure he's going to have a plan to stop the supply line getting the ball to him and not giving him the time and space that he was afforded on that night. But, I mean, he's obviously a player to look out for. He's knocking on the door of the England squad. He must be. I'd be absolutely gobsmacked if he's not included, you know, in the squad for the friendly against France at the end of the month. So, you know, he's a player to look out for. And other than him, we've got, you know, Kevin Doyle up front, who had a fantastic game against Man United in the fixture at Molineux last season. How he was on the losing side, you know, it was a travesty. He had a brilliant game, and he plays that lone striker role for Wolves incredibly well. He holds the ball up, he brings other people into play. He's just a fantastic player. So if we can get the ball into him, you know, I think we'll do all right. And we'll deploy, no doubt, a five-man midfield. That's what we did against Man City. You know, we'll look to get the ball down and pass it and work it. And, yeah, I think Doyle, Jarvis and Milias as well. If we can get Nenad Milias into advanced positions, he's got an excellent shot. He picks out in clever passes. He's a very good player. There's question marks over the fact that he'll, whether he'll work hard enough, whether he'll get up and down the pitch, but, you know, definitely in the attacking third, he's a big threat.
From a United point of view, though, you mentioned that you're maybe a bit weak down the left-hand side, and we're without Nani, who is injured. It looks like he probably won't play. So who would you be worried about from a United point of view?
Well, like you said, I did have a bit of a smile on my face when I heard that Nani wasn't going to be playing, because I thought, you know, an out-and-out winger with a bit of pace is going to cause us problems. So I don't know. You probably know better than me who's going to be playing out on the right. If Nani's not playing, and, you know, Valencia's a long-term injury for you, I don't know who will actually play out there.
maybe could have a wee shot. He's having a decent run of form, so he can have a little go in the Premier League.
Yeah, maybe. He might fancy it. You know, he's played against Wolves already, hasn't he? So he did all right. Or I don't know if Park might play out there. And, you know, Park's a player who always seems to have a great game against Wolves. I think he's a vastly underrated player. I mean, I don't know how he's seen, you know, from United fans, but for me, from outside, every time he's played, Wolves had a fantastic game, and he scores goals against us, sets goals up. I think he's a brilliant player. And, you know, but other threats, I mean, Hernandez is on, you know, a brilliant run of form, and we'll be looking at him definitely, because he looks like, you know, your likely source of goals at the moment. And who else, you know, I'm trying to think who's going to be playing, because you've got a pretty big injury.
Yeah, we do, yes.
But I think definitely Park is a player I'll be looking at. So I'd expect he'll be starting with the problems you've got, because I think Fletcher might be out as well.
Yep.
That's been rumoured, because I think he came off in the Champions League for you in midweek. So it's hard. I mean, you've got, you know, but, you know, with all due respect, Man United, you know, you're going to have players, you're going to damage Wolves. It doesn't matter what 11 you put out, you're going to have players that hurt us, you know. So it could be anyone.
I like that indeed. Well, given that obviously you've said that United have got a number of players who could hurt teams, I mean, if there was one player from United you can have, you've got all the money in the world, money is no object, you can pay them whatever wages you deem fit and they want, which player would you take?
Well, that's a difficult one, because I suspected you'd ask me this question, and it's difficult. I mean, a fully fit and firing Wayne Rooney is obviously, for me, the player who I'd have and who every other team should say that they'd have, because he's a brilliant player. But, you know, he's his problems at the moment are well documented. So if you ask me who I'd take right now, I'd probably take Patrice Evra, because obviously, you know, I've said our problems in full-back areas, you know, are constantly holding us back at times, I think, defensively. So if we had a solid full-back who could play, you know, down the left for us and play behind Jarvis and give us that bit of defensive stability. And, you know, I've always been pretty impressed with Evra whenever I've seen him play, and I think he's a good character to have around. Definitely, I think Patrice
Evra. A very good choice. He's a top quality left back indeed. And before we let you go, we'll just get back to the game at the weekend and get a prediction from you, Thomas. What do you think the score will be?
Oh, well, it's like I say, our form's been quite good. So I'd say I'm very cautiously, mind, optimistic about, you know, putting in another good performance. And if we can do that, I think with, you know, United's injury problems, there's a chance we could get a result. You know, it's hard. I mean, my head says, well, United will probably win it, come out top, you know, they've got the know-how to come out. But then my sort of heart's thinking, well, Wolves are playing well, you know, there's these injuries to Man United, is it good time to play? And so I think I'm going to really put my head on the chopping block, and I'm going to say a draw. I think 1-1, maybe. I think 1-1.
Thank you very much, Thomas, for coming on the RedCafe.net podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I've really enjoyed it. Brilliant.
Excellent. And if anybody wants to go on and read some of Thomas's work, then the address is wolvesblog.com. So we'll go there and check that out as well.
Well then, guys, we'll have a little look at the game ourselves now then. Obviously, Wolves at home on Saturday. Dan, 1-6 for them at the moment, I believe. And obviously, they did pick up a win last weekend against Manchester City, which is always good to see. But yeah, on a serious note, that's going to put them on a high. But really, at home, it does need to be 3 points against someone like Wolves, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think we'll get them as well. I mean, I think we're in good form at the moment, and everyone seems confident. I mean, I've read that Ferguson said that Fletcher and Nani might be injured, but hopefully they'll come through. But, you know, if Nani's injured, it might give the likes of, you know, Overton a chance to start in the game and show him what he can do in the Premier League. So I'm looking forward to the game.
Prediction then, Dan?
I think it'll be 2-0 United.
Dolph, prediction?
I think we'll get maybe 3. As I say, it'll be maybe 3-1. I still think we'll concede, but I think we're looking quite good going forward now. So I'm going to say we're going to get 3 goals again.
We'll also move on to preview, well, arguably the biggest game of the season next Wednesday, which is, of course, Manchester City in the Premier League at Eastlands. Well, Dov, it could really prove a hugely significant Manchester derby, couldn't it? I mean, you look at the sort of pressure Mancini's under at the moment. Obviously, the time of recording this podcast, they've just sort of lost in the Europa League, which makes it 3 successive defeats for them. They've got West Brom at the Hawthorns on the weekend as well, which is obviously not going to be easy, an easy game the way they're playing. So, yeah, a game against us is probably something they don't really want at the moment. And, well, a win for us, you've got to start really questioning whether they're good enough to sort of challenge for the title, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I think when we were speaking earlier, Dan said they've been beaten 5 times already, whereas we're undefeated this season, and I don't see it changing this. They're on quite a bad run at the minute. It looks like there's a lot of sort of dressing room unrest, and it could be that Mancini loses his job against us if we get the right result. I don't understand the tactics he sets up. He sets up quite defensive tactics, but he's got a number of good attacking options and he sets up quite defensively, which I find very, very strange. And you mentioned before, Steve, about sort of trying to keep everybody happy, and he's not really working very well at it. So I think they've got a lot more problems than what we have, and I think that'll sort of translate onto the pitch, and I can see us coming away with a win as well.
And Dan, obviously a lot's been made of sort of the big derby in the past has always been considered. Obviously Ferguson has always considered Liverpool being the big game. But with all the money and the fact that they seem to think that they're the real deal now, that they can challenge for trophies, I mean, does it add a little bit more extra spice now? Is this really the sort of biggest game it's been for a while against City?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it is a big game. The Carling Cup games last year were quite big as well, because City thought they were just going to win the league and then start off this massive trend of winning trophies, which not happened, has it? I think that it'll be fierce. It'll be one of them games where you don't really enjoy watching as a fan, because you're just a bit worried that City might actually do something, and they've got the players to do that as well. You know, there's no point denying it. They've got some good players, but whether they've got the team that a club like Chelsea have got or United is a different matter. And I think that the game will be really good. It'll be feisty, and I'm expecting a few goals as well.
And will Rooney play? There's a lot of sort of talk about that he might be fit. Tevez as well. He's obviously missed the last couple, but Mancini sort of expecting him to return for the Manchester derby. I mean, that could be some sort of a contest, couldn't it? Tevez, obviously, for the hatred of the United fans. And I suppose Rooney equally could be the hatred of the United fans at the moment as well.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't imagine Rooney will play. I don't think he's fit, is he? And I think it'd be daft to play him in that game if he's not fit, because he'll just be left questioning his commitment to United if he doesn't do very well, like, which you know will happen. So, I don't think he'll play. But we all know what Fergie's like, though. I'll be out for a few weeks and then he comes back.
Yeah, Dan, I just want to ask you something. You were at the game at the weekend against Spurs, yeah?
Yep.
Was there any chance against Rooney? Because read that it was he left Old Trafford at half-time. And apparently one of the reasons was given that he was getting quite a lot of abuse where he was sitting from fans. Is that true, or is this just an urban myth?
I sit on the opposite side to the south stand, so I wouldn't know if there was any chanting going to it. I didn't hear anything. There's still a lot of grumblings, though, about, you know, the fact that he's apparently on, you know, so much a week. And then the John O'Shea factor came out as well when we mentioned last week about him being on 80 grand. That came out as well. But we'll have to wait and see what it's like when he steps out on the pitch again at Old Trafford, because that's the only reason it's the only way you're going to find out whether, you know, he's going to be supported or whether, you know, fans are still unhappy with him.
I think the whole goals thing, I think, is going to be the cure. He starts scoring again and starts hitting the form we know he can produce. I think that'll people will soon get back on his side. I really think it's as simple as that. But all right, what about predictions then for Manchester City game? Dan, start with you. How do you see it going?
2-1 to United. I think they will be confident. We seem to have a decent record at their ground as well. So I think that we've got to be confident, really, especially like you mentioned before, the run that City are on at the moment. You know, looking forward to the weekend game against West Brom for City as well, see how they do there. But I think that, you know, it'll be a big game, you know, Wednesday night under the floodlights. I think it'll be fantastic. It'll be a proper game.
Dov, you said earlier that you think we're gonna pick up the win, but what about a score prediction? Is it going to be a comfortable win?
I think it'll be a very, very slight win. I think it'll be maybe 1-0 or sort of 2-1, like Dan said. I think it'll be quite close. I think it'll be a tight game, but I think we're hitting a good run of form as well. So I think we'll get the 3 points on next Wednesday.
Great stuff. I certainly hope so. But that just about brings an end to episode 54 of the RedCafe.net podcast. Remember, the normal email address you can get in touch with us on is podcast@redcafe.net. Make sure you do that with sort of any questions, suggestions of how we can sort of improve and take the show forward, or just any comments you've got about Manchester United or the podcast. Yeah, that just leaves us to say thanks once again for listening in, and we'll see you next week.